All right. The Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen. Now let's quickly get into our teaching for today. We're going to start by reading from the book of Galatians chapter 5. What I want to do beginning from today, we are still on our faith basic series. We have finished this first 10 of the messages. And today I want to begin a subsection of the teaching on faith basics. I want to talk about how to increase your faith. And for those of you who might be interested, most of the things I'm going to say, well, the Holy Spirit leads differently sometimes. You can find in the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. All right? And if you have not read that book, I will recommend you read it. It was my favorite, in my own opinion, my best work until How to Work for God. So How to Work for God is now number one. Great Faith Can Be Yours, in my assessment, is number two. And the popular vote is choice is key to destiny, that remains number one. I know that. But personally, I think How to Work for God is, to me, is the most interesting read of all of them. But anyway, I'm recommending once again that everybody get a copy of Great Faith Can Be Yours. And some of the things you will read, some of the things you will read in there, you will see me explain them further today. And then, of course, previous teachings that we have had on faith, one way or the other. All right. So this sub section of faith basics, I'm going to talk about how to increase your faith. Okay, the book of Galatians chapter 5 is where I'm going to start today. Or let's first of all read from Genesis chapter 8. Open Galatians chapter 5, keep a finger there, and quickly go to these very popular portions of the verse of scripture, verses, very, very famous in Christianity of today. When I read it, you'll see the one I'm talking about. Verse 22 of Genesis chapter 8. That this was a commandment that God gave, or a declaration that he made after Noah came out from the ark, and then he offered an offering unto the Lord. And the Bible says that God said in verse 22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." My emphasis, the first two lines, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest." The last line, "shall not cease." Now, there's a reason why I read that, and the reason is because it's a fundamental principle of life. Life has seasons. If you go and read Ecclesiastes, he said it, there is a time for everything. There is a time to be born, and then there is a time to die. Among the seasons, he will tell you there is a seed time, there's a time to sow, and then there's a time to harvest that which was sown. Now, please, I want you to understand that principle very well. Most of the things you are desiring in life, they are fruits. Do you get my point? What you do, what God gives to you as wisdom, is to know the right seeds to sow so that you will get the fruits that you desire. Are you getting my point? Now, there's something I always say, and why I say that thing a lot, I don't think I enjoy criticizing, just that I want you not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Sometimes when people don't understand these principles, we misapply them. People now say that if you want money, you sow money. I'll explain some things about it just now. I'm not going to go into details about that. The reason is because what I want to say about it is that everything has a proper field. There are different fields in life. Are you getting my point? You cannot, this is wisdom I'm telling you now, this is wisdom. You must know what to sow into where to reap the proper harvest. People say that if you want money, go and give out money. That is not true. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that because the sowing of money must be into a financial field. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? If you want to talk about seed time and harvest, as far as money is concerned, it must be into a financial field. So, if I'm a businessman, if I want money, I go and invest in my business. That's the field for money. Are you getting my point? Giving somebody else, or giving a preacher, or giving the work of God, or giving somebody in need money, do you follow my point? Does not make money a seed. The reason being that that is a spiritual field you are sowing into. And money is not a seed in the realm of the spirit. Love is a seed in the realm of the spirit. Favor is a seed in the realm of the spirit. Kindness is a seed in the realm of the spirit. Are you getting my point? Honor is a seed in the realm of the spirit. Therefore, if you come and say, "Pastor Banky, you're a man of God, I want to sow into your life, and you give me maybe 10,000 naira, and you're expecting a harvest of 100,000, I will eat your money and you won't get anything." Did you hear what I said? Yeah, you are afraid. Say amen if you heard me. You are calculating all the amount of money you have sown. Yeah, you lost it. Better hear it now so that you stop wasting money. If you want to give money to a man of God, do it out of honor. Do you get my point? Therefore, if you show me honor, if you show me respect, all right? If you show, because of the office that I occupy, not because I'm somebody just like to, just like to love. No. It's like, okay, this is a minister of the word. And because of that, Jesus said like this, if you go to a prophet because he's a prophet. Did you notice that? Not because you are lacking. We must understand this. What we Christians like to do is to give to a prophet because we are in need. The Bible never said that. It said if you give to a prophet because he's a prophet, then you get a prophet's reward. People misunderstand this principle of seed time and harvest. They sow the right seeds into the wrong fields. All right? Giving is good, but giving money is not a seed when you give. What is a seed when you give is the act, the spirit behind the giving. So if I see a man who is in need, or I see a young boy who is lacking, and I say, okay, you want to do ask, all right, you can't pay the fees. Here is 20,000 naira, go and sort your fees out. What I have given him is love. Are you getting my point? It is not cash. Physical cash is not a seed into the realm of the spirit. What I gave that young boy is love. Are you getting my point? And that is the one that God sees. Therefore, when you give because you want to get, you have given selfishness into the realm of the spirit and you get nothing. Did you hear what I said? You see, I know I've said this in 20,000 times, but I need another 45,000 times to say it enough so that people, you will hear it, and others who are listening to me either on TV or radio or CD, internet, will hear it also. All right? Because people say things that are not true a lot. The truth is that every seed has its own field. Corn, corn. What rice is Oryza sativa. What is corn again? Anyway, Z-maize. Yes, Z-maize. All right? You see, manihot utilissima. All kinds of things. Those things respect only one field. That is the soil, the physical soil of the earth. You cannot throw yam into the clouds and expect to harvest yam. It will fall on your head and you harvest concussion. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, that is true. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you want to sow yam, what do you go do? You go to the field, you cultivate the field, you till the land, you plant yam into the land, and you nurture it. After 9 months, you come back and you will have harvest bigger tubers of yam than what you sowed. That's just the way it works. So if you need more yam, don't give me yam. Don't give your neighbor yam. That's not what produces more yam. If you need more money, don't give me money. Don't give Kingdom World Ministries money. Don't give any preacher money. Don't give somebody who is poor money. What do? You go and give your money to a bank, hope that by the time they finish their charges, there'll still be something left. Nigerian banks are very good at it, all right? This is what I mean. Am I saying you shouldn't give to people? I didn't say that. You know, I know I'm repeating myself, but I just like to say it again and again. I'm correcting the motive. I'm correcting the motive. If you see me and say, oh, this man has been such a blessing, how can I be so blessed? I will not give him anything. Then that's the right motive. Because Bible says that if I sow spiritual seed into you, I should reap part of your material harvest also. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's the way it works. If you look at a young man, your neighbor who is hungry, you know these people don't have food to eat, and you take out of the little you have and you share with them, that is love, that is kindness. You must do that. That's Christianity. You should do it. Stop eating all your money alone. I mean, you go to university, your father is well-to-do, he supplies you very well with money, all right? And you think it's your duty now to go to school and be wearing expensive clothes and expensive shoes. May they steal those shoes 2 days after you buy them in the name of Jesus Christ, when you have not yet given to somebody who doesn't have anything at all. God doesn't give you money to show off. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
God never gives anybody money to show off. He gives you money for 2 things. 1, to enjoy. 2, to do good. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you go to school before the beginning of the month, your father don't wire you 20K. There's a lot of money. Most people who work don't earn that amount of money, and you're a bloody student. So what do you do when you get to school? All right? You are in a fellowship. It's good. Christians should be in fellowship on campus. Don't stop staying alone. All right? Go to fellowship. And that same fellowship, there are those that they just manage to come to school. Some don't have fathers at all to help them. All right? You know things like that. You don't have to show off. You stylishly help the person. Stylishly say, I'm going to the market. Why don't you escort me? You really are not going to the market. You are dragging him to the market. Ah, bro, let's go to the market now. I want to buy one or two things. Oh, okay, because of that, go and buy a pair of socks. And I say, do you like that shirt? Is it not fine? Buy him one. That 20K your father sent you, share it into two for this month. Give to somebody else. Not because you want. That is absolute nonsense. It is selfishness. It is ungodliness. I don't care who preaches it. Christians are not supposed to give because they want. Christians give because, we're going to discuss this again today, there is a spirit of Christ in them. For God so loved that he gave, all right, his only begotten son, that they might not perish, but they might have everlasting life. Kindness is part of the spirit of Christ. It's part of Christianity. And we must sow kindness. You can't have money and be rich. And you know, some people, I used to say jokingly that a lot of people who write, you listen to us on radio those days. They just assume that this guy don't chop belly full. He don't know what he will take money do again. And so he began to put it on radio. So they will write, please, Pastor Banky, I have not gone to school. I need money. When I get the mail, I delete it before it finishes landing or tear the paper if it's the letter you wrote. You're a rogue. You have not asked how I'm paying Cosmo FM. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that so if you have the means, you sit down at home, you are listening to the message, you ask yourself a question. How is this thing being paid for? There are a lot of people, I don't know how they get my number. Some people send me text messages or send us email. Ah, man of God, you know, use another radio station. Now, if you send that kind of rubbish mail in Enugu, I won't answer you. If you're in Enugu, come down to here. It's not free. Apart from bringing a Bible, gate fee here is what? It's free. Yes. What I'm saying, a lot of people are asking, give us more, give us more, give us more. They don't know that the one they got already costs money. And godliness is that you will say, I may not have ₦1,000,000 to give these people. Here is my ₦500. It will go a long way in supporting what is going on. That's how Christians think. But we preachers, we have messed everything up. We have encouraged stupidity and ungodliness amongst our brethren. They are only giving to tap anointing. I've told you several times, Christians don't give to tap anointing. Only sorcerers give to tap anointing. It's in the Bible. Only people who practice witchcraft give to tap anointing. If you want to give to a man of God, you give to a man of God. Do you know why? Because he's a prophet. That's what the Bible says. Simon the sorcerer is the only guy who tried to do that. You need to have your brains corrected, Christians. Let's start doing the right works for the right reasons. I've gotten carried away. Let me get back to my message. What am I explaining? This is a basic principle of life. There's seed time and there is harvest. I was just going on to explain something that there are different kinds of fields in life. You know, we're talking about different kinds of spheres to live in. Now, let's talk about fields. There are different kinds of fields in life. And when you want to sow, you must know the proper seed to sow into the proper field. This is what I started pointing out. Most of the things we want in life are actually fruit for the proper seeds that are sown. Some of the fundamentals of Christianity, you must understand that. I like the way Ecclesiastes said it. So how do you do as Christians? Let me say this again. Some of these things, I don't have said them before, but I have to keep saying them. People say that if you want this, you give this. I say no, it doesn't work in Christianity. You know why? Because you don't know what the seed in your hand, even though it's properly sown, you don't know what it will bring forth materially. Let me explain what I say. If you want mercy, you show mercy. That is correct. That's what Jesus said. How do you show mercy? There are different ways. Mercy can be helping an old man find his way at night. Mercy can be giving somebody who's hungry money. Mercy can be somebody who's owing you money, he knows he can't pay, so he says, okay, forget it. Mercy can be something that is due you, you refuse to take it, that somebody else might be blessed. That is mercy. But all you know is that you will get mercy. How your own mercy will come, you will not be able to tell ahead of time. Your mercy may come in the day, because there are destinies. You know, let me put that word like that. A lot of things are destined, people's lives are destined concerning. There are many things that control people's destinies. One of them is the plan of God. The second one is the previous behaviors of the generations before that you have tapped into by your own personal behavior, and they've shaped where your life is supposed to go. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So part of what could be somebody's destiny is that on this particular day you are going to have a ghastly accident. It's going to break both of your arms and both of your legs. I'm serious about what I'm saying. And if you have not been careful, you see, you understand what the Bible means when it says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Judgment, some many things that could have led to it. I'm not discussing those in details now, because in the life of the believer, Christians, all right, if you walk totally by faith in God, they are delivered automatically from those things. But sometimes, because you see, there's what the Bible calls the accuser of the brethren. He's still accusing day and night. Sometimes by our works, is that okay? We give him the right to accuse so that even Jesus can't do anything about his accusation. We do that. We can tempt God so much that we limit the Holy One of Israel. We do that. One of the things that God uses at such times, please, I'm not going to those things in details. I'm just going to explain the issue of the principle of mercy. One of the things that God does at such times is that when you have shown mercy, he therefore you have liberated mercy in your own favor. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So that day, your mercy will be deliverance from that death. You showed mercy giving money, but your own mercy, when it's going to come back, is coming back as something else. I read a story, Kenneth Hagin described how God showed him, I'm giving my own words now, mercy in a greater outpouring of the anointing upon his life. Because if you are doing anything in life, you want that thing to increase. If you're a preacher, you are praying every day for an increase, for an increase in anointing. He showed mercy to a man who stopped by in his church one day. He didn't know the man was coming. So when the man was leaving, the Holy Spirit whispered to him, give him this amount of money. He said, I don't even have that amount of money myself. Well, that was all he had. So he packed all the money grudgingly, complainingly, but he obeyed and gave to the man. And when God was going to reward him for that act of mercy, what he did was that he poured a greater grace upon him so that he raised somebody virtually from the dead. And the Holy Spirit said, that is reward for, you see, we are, stupidity and ignorance is what makes us think that our reward must always be for our own benefit. Are you getting my point? The Bible said he makes all grace abound towards you so that all you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to what? Every good work. He said, he that ministers seed to the sower and bread to the eater will both supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What does he do? He multiplies your ability to do more good. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see, you really can't tell. So Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, all right, verse 6, he says, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening. For you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. Now, there's a principle here. The principle is that we don't know exactly which seed will produce. Therefore, what do? We continually do that which is good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Therefore, I preach a message which I call the switch of God's power. And the summary of it is the continual doing of good works is the seed of God's power. Listen, let nobody lie to you because it is not possible. The person may not be trying to deceive you, he doesn't know himself. That you can take this money and say, this money is towards my house. There's nothing like that in Christianity. You can't take this money and say, this money, I'm giving it towards my car. It does not work. I will say it so much that even if you don't believe me, you will doubt the opposite. You know, there are two. I will make you doubt what is wrong. And next time you want to do it, the voice will be telling you, Banky warned you that it does not work like this. Banky has warned you. Alright? Are you getting what I'm saying? So what do you do as a believer? You continually do good works. So what about when I need something? People say you don't. The key to receiving is giving. I said the Bible never said so. The key to receiving, Jesus said, is what? Asking. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, you get what I'm saying? So when you have a need, go and ask. There's a kind of house I've asked God for. Why I have not demanded it of him yet is because I don't know where I want to live yet, finally. I'm in Enugu now. I wasn't born here, you know that. I came here about 10 years ago. 5 years may come, and he said, there used to be one man of God in this town. He has gone now. So I'm learning. Let me brag as if I have learned. I am learning. To a large extent, I'm trying, not to build any permanent tabernacle on the earth in my heart. Do you understand my point? He will say, you need landed property. Listen, you need your heart landed in God. You don't need landed property is good. That is not good. You don't need it. It's good. You have nice suits, it's good. But you can live without them. Look, I pray that we enter into the real thing called Christianity. The time will come when we have thoroughly understood God. You will look at the house and say, I like this kind of house. All right, I should start living in this kind of house in the next 3 months. And that's it. In fact, you will not be surprised. Other people will be surprised that kind of house is automatically yours in 3 months. And you live in it for about a year and a half and you get tired. Say, I don't like this kind of house again. And God will not be angry. Because he has come to understand. No, he knows you have come to understand that it's nothing. It's just material things. So you use them today. You throw them away tomorrow. You don't hold on to it. This is the house that my great-grandfather left for my grandfather. And my grandfather has left for me. My wife and I today were watching the story of Timbuktu on BBC World. And I said, my God, there is nothing permanent materially in this life. Yes, it was a great city. Now, Timbuktu is now a historical village, if you understand what I'm explaining. That's the way life is. Is that okay? Let's not sit on those things, all right? I just want to explain the fact that, all right, you will get to a point in life. Once you have understood that thing, God will let you have anything, anytime. The problem right now is that he knows that if I give you this, it will become an idol. You go to worship. Are the material things that he dashed you, so he's holding them back. So he said, just develop spiritually. You will get to a point where you do like this. I used to ask myself those days. I said, if Jesus was on the earth today, which car will he drive? I said, none and all. You will never find a car with the registration name, Jesus Christ Ministries on it. You won't find it. But today you will see him. He will be in a Lamborghini. The following day, you will fly him in a private jet. The day after that, you will find him at the back of Okada with a crash helmet on his head. Believe me. And there are times you say that the meeting place is not too far. Boys, let us trek. Yes, that's what he would have been like. Do you follow the principle there? All right? So please, I'm just explaining some principles. I hope I don't get too carried away by all these side gist. I hope you learn something from them anyway. That's why we come here on Saturdays, all right? We'll keep on learning here and there, put everything together. All right? At the end of the day, we go away with our main message for the day. So I was saying, so you find out that when we are so, how do we sow the proper seeds? Since we don't know exactly what which seed we produce, we just learn how to sow seeds. Are you getting my point? And we continually sow seeds. Continually. That's why I preach in that message. You can go and get that message if you can. The switch of God's power. I said, the switch of God's power is a continual doing of good works. You do them continually. Like Wale Oke preached once where in a place where I was. He said, those that do the things that count, don't stop to count them. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're able to count the kind of joke we crack these days in Christianity. Hey, I gave this. God, you will reward me. You've just lost the reward for every single one of those things you named. Did you hear what I said? Yes, let me say it again. If you're able to stand and start counting, God, you know, last year, 15th of June, this is a check. I still have the stub here. All right? It was 25,000 I gave towards that mission work. The following week, I gave 16,000 towards this. And then I did this. Once you count like that, as you are counting it, they are losing their potency. As it's coming out from your mouth, the reward is being is withering away. Hey! Some people, they fear that they talk. So say, God, all the investment I made into the realm of the spirit, Hafa, that is why you came here today. This is part of the fruit of your investment. Amen? That is to liberate you from wrong practices. No, Christians, what do? We continually do good works. I've taken a lot of time to explain that principle again. What I was saying is that is a fundamental principle of life. Most of the things you want in life, they are fruits. Is that okay? They are rewards. But what God gives into your hands is the ability to sow the right seeds. And I said that most times you don't know which seed is going to do what, but you know the right seeds to sow in life. What they will produce for you, you may not be able to put your hands specifically on them. All right? Let me give an example. No, so let me put it like this. Some, God will have given you us an idea of what it produces. For example, he will say, honor your father and your mother. That one produces what? Long life. If a young man is chasing you and he hangs up his phone on his father when his father is talking, say, don't mind my father. Don't marry him. He will die young. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't just marry him. You will be a widow early in life. If he has no respect for authority, just look at like this, eh? I want to pray about this relationship. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. The spirit of widowhood, I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. Primarily honoring your father and your mother, also standing for respect for authority. Do you get my point? In life, is one of the seeds that we at least we know what it produces. Long life. Are you getting my point? The opposite, that is dishonor, produces both poverty and a short life. This is the annoying part about this life. Some of these, our fathers, in quotes, are very difficult to honor. Are you getting my point? You have enough reasons to be angry. Yes, you have a lot of reasons, but you are not justified to be angry. Let me leave that one there. Just giving us ideas. So you want long life, there are seeds for long life. All right? You want prosperity, there are seeds for prosperity, which does not include selfish giving. Amen? Yes. Honesty and truthfulness, they are more potent seeds for prosperity than financial seeds. To be a man of truth, to be a woman of integrity. Are you getting my point? Those things produce more power towards financial prosperity than selfish giving. I don't want to go over that thing. Anytime I get there, I get stuck. Yeah, I get stuck. Because I hear it all the time. I always get stuck. So I will drag myself out of that mud. Let me go into my main message. I read that to lay a foundation for, you know, we're talking about how to increase your faith, right? Okay. Actually, the main place I was going is Galatians chapter 5. And also we read Romans chapter 8. Let's start from Galatians chapter 5. Please, you've gotten what I've said so far. If you understood it, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, that is, virtually everything we desire in life is a fruit for sowing the right seeds. Now, let's begin, therefore, to read from this Galatians chapter 5. I'll read a number of scriptures. Because of time, we'll rush through it a bit. Let's start from verse 13. It said, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Those are some of the fundamental commandments that Jesus gave his disciples. By this he said, "The world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And he said, "But through love serve one another. For the whole law," verse 14, "is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another." Now, this is our emphasis from verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Now, this is a problem in Christianity. The flesh, he says in verse 17, sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. "For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these." That is, there are many more things. "Of which I forewarn you," even Christians, that's what people is talking to, "just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things, whether they are Christians or not, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He said, against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, please, there's one more scripture in this cell I want to read. Just quickly go down to verse 6. So let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Please notice this. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. My emphasis is verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. He said, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Now, please, just look up. I finished reading this long portion. We'll read Romans chapter 8 in a while, but let them just explain why I read this. I brought this one out to bring out an issue that life has different fields. No, to emphasize, I said it earlier. Now, this was a scripture that was a bit difficult for me to understand many years ago. It's in modern times when I began to read again that the Lord helped me to see this thing. He said, the fruit of the Spirit. People have said different things about that, but let me give you my own thoughts today, which I actually believe that is quite correct, because I've heard all the other things, and then when I saw this one, I said, no, this is the correct thing. It says fruit. People have said that this is what the recreated human spirit, the Spirit of Christ in you, brings forth. No, that's not what he said. The Spirit here refers to a force field. You know, I said something earlier, that there are financial markets. We sow money into them, from there we can reap more money. Is that okay? That's a field. I said there is a physical earth, is a field. We sow corn into it. From it, we can reap more corn. Do you understand the point? Now, there is this field, a field called the Spirit, which if we sow to that Spirit, are you getting my point? It produces a kind of harvest. That's why I read that Galatians chapter 6. He said, he that sows to his own flesh, your flesh is a field. It produces for you corruption. He said, but he that sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. That is, there is an act of sowing into a particular kind of force field, which is called the Spirit. Are you getting my point? And the job of Christians is to constantly sow seeds into the Spirit. Let me say it again. I'm saying this again because Christians these days, we have heard so much about, we think the only seed there is money. There's one scripture we like to abnormally apply. So money answereth all things. So you just sow money towards everything. I've explained to you already that when you are handling money, money in itself doesn't have any character. It is the heart of the person handling it that gives it character. Are you getting my point? So if I handle money to sow, the money itself is nothing. It is the heart behind the sowing of that cash, that's actually the real seed I'm putting out in there. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, when we use the word flesh here, please, let me also explain something. As opposed to that word spirit, both of them are referring actually to spiritual realms. But when he uses the word spirit, it's referring to, let me put it like this, the good side, that is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the first field that God has left for the Christians to put seed into so that good may come towards them. And when he used the word flesh, he's talking about this first field of this world, which is dominated by Satan, which when you put things into it, it only produces for you death. Are you getting what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that what you sow into the flesh are actually also spiritual tangibilities. Let me put that like that. For example, if a man is a wicked person, if a man is selfish, what he's doing is that he's sowing to his own flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? The reason why it's like that is this. The flesh has, let me introduce this principle or explain something here. God, there are some things that from creation, all right, they are innate, they are native to the human nature. All right? For example, this desire to preserve yourself. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, how you know is that just look at children. Children don't know how to do anything good. They are taught every single act of good. Every single one. You think children know how to give? No. They saw you give. So, you know, you give a child something. After he has observed it a number of times, next time you tell him, give me now, he copies that which he saw you do previously. Otherwise, he only lives for himself. The only good thing in the heart of a child is what the parents put in there. The Bible says clearly, foolishness was wrapped, bound, sealed, screwed down into the heart of a child. Now, I'm using that to bring out the word flesh. So there are things that are natural to people. And those are the things that the Bible calls flesh. Let me explain this thing again. He that sows to the flesh, a lot of our cultures, they sow to the flesh. And what's been happening is that from the flesh, they have been reaping what? Corruption. That's why I've been warning Christians every time I preach, stop saying this is how it is in our place. That is arrant rubbish, nonsense. Ungodliness being uttered. You must say, how did God say it must be done? That's it. How it is in my place often is nothing but sowing to the flesh. And what happens is that from the flesh, we start reaping what? Corruption. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Listen, every place on earth has, they have cultures. Nigeria has maybe 10,000, I don't know, I'm just joking by that, alright? Different tribes. Everyone with his culture. Every culture, everyone produces a result. And oftentimes, it's corruption. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this is how it is with Christianity. Even though you have been saved and your past has been washed away, you must stop sowing seeds to the flesh. Because it's what you sow to the flesh. You see, there's something about God. Even though he made things, he said, God, this also I have discovered, Solomon said, that God made men upright, but he sought out many devices. Once we seek out too many devices, we hinder the hand of God concerning what he wants to do in our lives. So no matter how anointed you are, no matter how called you are, and this is interesting about God, he's one person that your gifts and callings and your anointing does not impress. He will look at a man, a woman that's so heavily anointed and kill him at 12 noon in the prime of his life, and everybody be wondering why. And God doesn't even tell me. He anointed Moses and he tried to kill him. So what's the big deal? You not seen it? The first serious attempt on Moses' life was by God himself. Why? He did not circumcise his son. And God, let me tell you something. You know, God is love. They won't ever preach as if God is an angry father. He is not an angry father until you annoy him. That's what I preach. And when he's angry, you had better repent. Because the Bible says he's slow to anger. You know the quick vex. Some of us, you know, God is helping us. We know the quick vex again. With the quick vex. So we can quick change our mind. But God, very slow to anger. But when he gets angry, in fact, when he kills his own children, it's mercy. That if I deal with this guy the way I deal with unbelievers. So to prevent dealing with him, Michael, give me his head on a platter of gold. And that's mercy. Christians, let me say this. I'm talking about, all right? I'm also talking about how to build up our faith, but this is introduction to it. Let's quickly go back to that walk of the flesh. These are the things we use to sow our seeds into the realm of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh are evident. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, all those things. He said, for these things I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. Paul said, I warned you before, I am warning you again, that anyone who practices such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I hope you hear what I said. I hope you hear what I said. Yes. I was in Onitsha last week to preach at a convention talking about giving wings to your destiny. I told them, don't worry about your destiny. Worry about your character. Yeah, I said, look, don't worry about your destiny. Worry about your character. That no matter the amount of wings you give to your destiny, bad character has a way of putting pin to balloon that's floating. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please, let's get this clear. Evil works, even in the life of Christians, they produce negative results. And that's why Paul says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the manifestation of God's power in their lives. Is that okay? Is hindered because they do the works that are wrong. Therefore, Paul said, what are we supposed to do? He said, what we do is walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, and you shall not carry out the desire of the flesh. It is difficult to fight the desire of the flesh naturally by itself. That is, take it head on. What you do is that you ignore it, but you put your emphasis on walking in the Spirit. Now, he said, when you do what he called walking in the Spirit, what you are doing is that you are sowing seeds into the realm of the Spirit. Then it starts producing as harvest. Please, listen to this. The work of the Spirit, the righteous works, start coming out of you automatically as harvest, as fruit for sowing the right seeds into the realm of the Spirit. The question, therefore, is what is the right seed? Are you getting my point? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. That word faithfulness is the same word faith. If the Bible puts the word faith, some say faithfulness, but the literal word is faith, gentleness, self-control. It says against such things, there is no law. Now, that Galatians chapter 6 gave us an idea of what, well, I have a number of things I will give us as examples, all right, of what it is that means to sow into the realm of the Spirit. Let me say something. If you want plenty of mango, is that okay? You must start with mango. Right? Mango is a fruit. But you must start with the first one, the seed, which is mango, which comes from the first fruit that is in your hand, which you get from whatever. So if I want to have a mango plantation or cashew plantation or whatever it is, I will have to give you something to start with. And as a matter of fact, God gives us Christians something to start with. Let me just tell this story again. I've told it before. It will help me illustrate what I'm trying to explain. This book, I hope by now you have read it. Because if you have been hearing me for some time, you haven't read it by now. I wonder what's wrong with you, really. You understand my point? The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. You know the book? Yes, I've recommended it a number of times. The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. Now, in that book, Rick Joyner told a story about a man, two people that were going to, he saw doing works, you know. One was doing what looked like bad work, one was doing what looked like good works. And he wanted, God wanted him to judge which one of them would receive the higher reward in heaven. And he judged the way you and I would judge according to what his eyes could see. One man was walking, and he saw a cat cross his legs, and he wanted to kick the cat. But he managed to restrain himself, then he shoved the cat out of the way and kept on moving. And the other person was, you know, doing a lot of good works. The poor, he would go and visit, help the needy and all of that. And so God asked him simply, which one of them do you think I will reward more? And naturally, the other guy now who preaches and helps the poor and everything. Is that okay? Now, but God asked him that it's not so. Because in this situation, you can't see what I'm trying to explain it now. You can't see the things that are behind. The man who did not kill the cat actually used all the love he had not to kill the cat. Let me like this. He didn't do any good thing. He just didn't kill a cat. You get my point? Because he's deaf and dumb. And since he was a child, he was abused. His parents will lock him up either in the basement or in the attic so that, he was really roughly treated. Then when he was a young boy, they threw him out of the house. He had never really known love. And God said he had three measures of love. And he employed all the measures of love that he had not to kill that cat. I don't know what I hear what I said. But the other one, born of Christian parents, grew up, if he shouts, eh, the mother will say, oh, where is it? Who beat you? Oh, let me, is it the table? I beat the table back. You know, those kind of... you know, all those kind of things. He was a loved child. God said he had 100 measures of love, but he's using only 70. Now, the 70 you are seeing, is that okay? Is what is producing all these good works. To whom much is given, much is expected. All right? So God, using that principle, said, this one, I will judge him that he's got 70%. Why did that guy got 100? Because he had only 3, and he used the 3. But why did I tell the story? The story is that everybody has a measure, all right, of good that God has given him. And that is the seed that you sow into the realm of the Spirit. Do you hear what I said? Why did I say that? Read Galatians chapter 6. Paul was talking about how to put things into the realm of the Spirit. And he brought out an example. He said, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, selfishness, not able to give, from that flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, what he's saying is that when a man is a giver, he's putting his seed into the realm of the Spirit. Are you seeing that? Are you following that? Now, he now said that, still explaining this, for this reason I'm saying to you, verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing what? Good. The doing of good is sowing into the realm of the Spirit, like we said at the beginning. And he said, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. To explain it further, he says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And he was talking about sowing into the Spirit. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Spiritual things, another point I should quickly point out, they have measures. I've said this several times. The Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 12. Paul talked about as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. This is how you sow into the realm of the Spirit. The measure of faith that God has given you, you use it. I don't know whether you hear what I said. I'm not going to go into over that one now, but if you go to that Romans chapter 12, you see Paul was explaining about gifts and ministries, the work that each person has. You follow me? So he said to the person, to everybody, that each one of you has a measure of faith. There are things you do confidently, he was saying. And now this is what I'm saying here. I'm borrowing from that to explain this principle. So if I take my measure of faith and use it for good, I increase as my harvest my faith. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Go and read Romans chapter 12. You will discover that there he explained what you are supposed to do as a part of the body of Christ in building up other people. That's why I said this before. Please understand what I'm saying. There's no true man of faith that's not a cheerful giver. Now, listen to me. I am not talking just about money. But money is part of it. If you see a man who only lives by himself, that is, if he earns 200 naira, he can account for how he spent 199 on himself. That guy does not have faith. Two things. One, he doesn't have currently, and he won't have bigger faith later. You know, maybe later on I'm going to talk about practical, there's a title I gave it, anyway, Practical Guides on the Use of Money for Christians. I will bring up that issue again, we'll discuss it. Money is interesting. It's one thing that is, you know the way it is. Those is trade by barter. I need your services, I give you my services. I need your yam, I give you my tomatoes. You know that kind of thing. But later on, what we do now, we'll not convert any one of them to money so we can take it around and buy anything with it. So it's a reflection of what you do actually with your time. All right? Most of your life, what you do is you convert it, the value of it, to cash. So it reflects how you live your life. According to EDCO, all right? Between most of the day, what you are doing is working and earning money in exchange for the work that you do. So how you spend the money is a reflection of exactly what you live for. Do you get my point? Do you get my point? Well, now, I brought that one up to explain the issue that how a man lives, especially when it comes to the matter of generosity with money, is a reflection on whether he's sowing into the realm of the spirit or is not. Love, as an example, that's part of generosity, because I told you that generosity is not just about money. It's not just about money. It's about everything. If you read my tract, Cheerful Giver, or inside that book, Grace to Prosper, I discovered the matter of cheerful giver. That a cheerful giver is not the man who gives money. He said, what do you mean? I said, because God does not look on the outside. He looks at the heart. There are cheerful givers that don't have money to give. And there are people who give plenty of money and they are not cheerful givers. There are cheerful investors. Yeah, there are cheerful investors. There's a special breakthrough right now. If you just give an offering, it will be yours. That's cheerful investing. That's not cheerful giving. That's what? Cheerful investing. Please, I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. But I like to take this thing from behind, from inside. Faith is what dictates the matter of whether your giving is cheerful or it's not. Now, bring another issue here. So when we use our faith only for, let me get something. No, that is not what we're talking about. That's still selfishness. But if a man, God gives him a gift, he gives him a dose of faith. He gives him a dose of love. So he says, in my life, listen, and what I'm telling you, I believe it totally. That is what Christianity is. The man says, okay, my life, these are faith basics thing. I'll talk again about matter of purpose, man on assignment, that God brought you to this earth for a purpose. So as a believer, you get up and say, my life is an assignment. Or God gave me life so that I might fulfill his assignment. And from the beginning, what he does is to give you a measure of faith. It gives the ability to do things to help other people. As part of the fundamentals of Christianity, this is where I'm going to, is that issue of walking in love. Did you hear what I said? I said it different ways. I hope I didn't get you confused along the line. Let me go back again. Let me summarize everything that I've said. I will just go in here. And do you understand me? You're looking like I lost you. I lost you. Yes, I did. All right, let me go back again. Listen, I'm going to talk to only you so that it will help me focus. I said, I've established, I'm sure you understood that, that he that sows, that when we're talking about sowing into the spirit, we saw from Galatians chapter 6 that he was talking about doing good works as a way of sowing to the spirit. Because he talked about giving to those who minister to you. He talked about, as God gives you the opportunity, do good to all men. And he was talking about sowing sowing to the realm of the spirit as opposed to sowing into the flesh. Then I said that everything we desire, great faith, everything, is in measures. Life is in measures. Faith is in measures. Great faith that we need, all right? We don't have it to start with, but God gave everybody, Romans chapter 12, Paul referred to that in Romans chapter 12, that God gave everybody a measure of faith. So I said, this is how you sow into the realm of the spirit. You exercise that little faith that God has given you. Then from there I left, I said, it is not, when I say exercise faith, Christians, we're taught, most of us still live like that, as if this faith is about exercising faith for my own good. So we learn how to focus on the kind of car that I want and we get it. Do you get my point? And I said, no, that is not the kind of faith I'm talking about. Because if you look in that Romans chapter 12, you will see that Paul explained it as concerning the grace that God gave each person to contribute to the body of Christ. Are you getting my point? That the faith was not about what I will get. So I said, this is how a woman sows into the realm of the spirit. He understands that, like Paul said in Romans chapter 12, that grace has been given to me according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, there are things I have that I can use to bless other people. And I said, the exercise of whatever I have as a means of blessing other people is sowing into the spirit. And the fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, whatever it is, including faith in a bigger measure. Have I summarized it now? I hope you understood me. You know, the good thing about it is that you, by the time you finish understanding, you can't forget again. Amen? The Lord is good. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm explaining something here. Because you see, Jesus said something. And you know, then I said something before that Paul, people misunderstood Paul because they thought Paul was saying that Christians, that righteousness does not include works. I said that was not what Paul said. That what Paul said is that righteousness is by faith. But that if the faith is real, James explained to us, it must show as works. And that John the Baptist said, you bear fruit that is in keeping with repentance. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Are you getting my point? So I'm explaining, therefore, I also said something, that there are works that Christians must not be found doing. I've said something before, let me say it again. Sin, look, this is, listen to me. God is not, if you are a Christian, say amen. If you said amen, that means that the day of judgment, God will not sit down and say, come, you. It's judgment time. Give me his book. Ah! Jaguda! He stole money. No, God was not going to do that. What he would do is that, I was in Onitsha, I preached that message. Beautiful. I said, there are two books, I preached here before. But in Onitsha, I said, there's yellow book and brown book. I said, I'm the one giving the colors though. Yellow book is the one written before you were born. Brown book is the one written, was opened the day you were born, and it was being written as you were living your life. And that is how God judges. He takes the yellow book, puts it down, and compares the content of the brown book with that of the yellow book. That is, he compares your life that you lived with what you were supposed to be. He created you to be something. I said, this is what sin does. You see, all the sins you committed, once you gave your life to Christ, you were forgiven. So God is not stupid. He doesn't go and say, okay, we forgive him that time. Go and uproot, bring it out from where we kept it. No, he doesn't. He wipes it away. He leaves it. What he now does is this. He checks whether you did the works that you were told to do on the earth according to your calling. If your judgment is based upon that. Once you are a believer in Christ Jesus, listen to me. You will enter into heaven. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You will. You need to become apostate for God to take your name and wipe it out of the book of life. Is that okay? For most believers, you will get there. What now happens is this. Go and read the journal again. I told you, go and read the journal. Level past level, when we read that side. Is that okay? Each person's level is judged according to how well his brown book correlates with his yellow book. Yellow book being the first one that was written. Now, let me get back to what I was saying. You know what sin does? Sin is the reason why men don't fulfill the plan of God for their lives. Sin is a poison. I keep on saying it. Sin is what? A poison. Sin is what? A poison. It is not possible for you to do the will of God if you are walking in iniquity. It is not possible. It is not possible. It is not possible. It is not possible. You can't be dishonest and you be praying. Say, God, lead me into the next realm of business. God said, with what? Dishonesty? You can't be sleeping around and say, God, I want you to show me who I'm going to marry. It's okay. You can marry Fela or Two Face or MK Abiola. I don't care. Are you getting the one I make? Yeah, no, that's it. You can't. Sin makes it impossible for you to discover the will of God and to walk in it. That's what sin does. That's why I said, look, it's not, you know, Christianity is not about going to church. I like the fact that I teach people on Saturday evenings. You need to love the word of God to leave everything you have to do to come and see me. Yes? Because I'm not going to entertain you. You won't come and say, oh, there's this special choir that knows how to jam for you. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, no. I'm just saying that at least I know that you didn't come here to watch that choir. I'm explaining the fact that Christianity is not about just showing up in church. Christianity is not about, which one is your church? What is the grace that's upon your papa, the papa of your denomination? That's not Christianity. Christianity is the very life that we live. Are you getting my point? And listen, this is what I'm bringing out today. Every believer, all right, should understand that for his faith to grow, he must turn his back on the works of the flesh. And Start sowing seeds into the realm of the spirit. Are you getting the point I'm making? We have already established the part, because last time I spoke extensively about the love for the word of God, which is primary. If you are drinking in the word of God, it's your own good. It's for your own good. But now I'm explaining the issue of sowing, putting something out into the realm of the spirit. Love, let me end with that, because that's the main thing that we end up talking about now. Love, therefore, that's why you see Paul talk about faith that works through love. What is love? Love is the simple old love that we knew, which we don't preach anymore. Yes. What is love? Helping somebody who is in need. What is love? I mean, showing kindness to somebody. What is love? Visiting the person in hospital who needs somebody to help him. What is love? Visiting the people who are in prison. No, that's what Jesus said. You know, it's just now I'm preaching this and I realize that I almost never hear it preached these days. Even me, I don't even think I preach it. Yeah, we forget. We forget. Most of what we call Christian activity these days is the real Christian activity. Is, did you shine that pulpit very well? It's always around church. Now, let me say this again. There are very important works to do. There are. Except that you notice that when Jesus was going to emphasize, he always emphasized on giving to the poor, helping the stranger, visiting the sick. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The meaning of the word visiting the sick is just helping somebody who does not have help. I want to leave that one with you today. Christians, we must turn our backs on the works of the flesh. As an example, jealousy, envy. Let me tell you how you know you are envying somebody. If his progress does not make you happy. If his progress is like, it doesn't concern me, you are envious. If it's somebody that's personally related to you and is making progress and like, what thing concern me? You are an envious person. Now, if Michael Jackson makes progress, it doesn't concern me because I don't know. He's dead now, actually. Let's look for somebody who's alive. Okay, Beyonce. Or Two-Face. All right? If something bad happens to you, like, hey, poor boy, God help him more. If something good happens to him, you say, you know, like, it really doesn't concern me, really. If his album sells, he does not sell. Waiting in Naruana, waiting concern me, say, Two-Face sell album, not sell album. But I work in an office. I have colleagues. There are issues about promotion. If one gets promoted, and I'm not promoted, and he say, waiting concern me, I'm not bothered, I'm lying. That one, I lie. That one a bobo. Yes, that one is a lie. If I discover that my body is not excited, then I will speak to my body. Come on, wake up and behave. Stand right here and I want you to dance 5 minutes before the Lord for that guy's promotion. God of miracle, now my papa, in papa too. Oh yeah, go on, dance. After that, go and worship for him. That's what is called keeping your body under. Are you getting my point? Let me say this to you. A Christian has no need to be jealous of anybody. And let me give you my gospel so that you understand and say, every good thing that is mine, my name was written upon it before the other fellow was born. And before I was born. It doesn't fit him. Do you get my point? It does not. Remember the story of Cinderella? In a village you grew up, you don't know of Cinderella. Even for village, there's Cinderella they there now. You know when they were looking for Cinderella, how were they looking for her? With what? Her cap. Amen? What was it? Okay, so you know Cinderella. True. Now your friend, now your friend. They used her shoe to look for her. It's a spiritual lesson. Did you notice that the shoe did not fit anybody else apart from her? All the other maidens in the land, they tried the shoe on them, it fit them. But the moment the shoe, actually the shoe, what used to do was a living shoe. Do you know what I'm saying? It used to change contour. When it look your legs, it no be like your bend one kind. You won't know why. You will struggle, you know, go enter. The moment Cinderella's foot came, it just blended. And that's how your blessing is. It doesn't, nobody else can wear it. So if somebody got something, they said there's only one spot open. And there are two of you. And they promoted the other guy and they left you behind. And I said, well, enough for him. It's me they will have promoted. It's a lie. If he wasn't there, they would have sacked you. Listen, the reason why you have not been sacked is because of his presence. Better thank God for it. If he was not there, they would not have promoted you. I'm telling you what Christianity is about. Envy is not... There are things that God helped me with long ago. I'm not bragging, no, I'm just thanking him. Long ago, I learned to rejoice when other people make progress. And actually, it's because I know this thing I'm telling you. I know it. I dance. There was a time something happened. I won't give you details so that you understand what I'm talking about. There's a place where I work. Somebody was trying to get promoted above me. So the paper went and then the one man on top saw it and called me. I said, oh, but what's going on? I saw it and I laughed. He said, I don't understand. I don't like this kind of thing. How did this come about? Why are these people trying to cause problems? I said, oh, boy, relax. This is bank you are dealing with. This is literally not a problem. I said, do you know why? Nobody can take my place. If this man enters there, it is his place. It's not my own. No, really, really. I've had issues before. A friend of mine, there was a post open. Two of us qualified for it. And they were trying to go behind the wall. I said, I call a mutual friend. My wife knows what I'm talking about. I said, go and tell that to my friend that it's not necessary. Because after a while, the fellow began to feel uncomfortable in my presence. You understand what I'm trying to explain? Because of course, one day I didn't even know it was going on. I stumbled on it, on the matter. And so the fellow became very uncomfortable from that day. I called a mutual friend. I said, please go and tell this fellow for me that as God lives, I'm not angry. It's not nice. You should be open. This kind of back waka is not good. But Banky is like Joseph. He's not angry. You sold me to slavery. Joseph said, I know it's bad. But I know the plan of God. Therefore, I'm not angry. Christians have no business being envious. Christians must not lie. They must not cheat. You know the reason? Because you are sowing seeds into the realm of the spirit. If you tell a lie, it's better to cheat somebody. God is looking at you and he will flog you. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Let me prophesy to you. If you're a businessman and you are here and you're a believer, you have a chance to go out now before my prophecy comes. Yeah, because if you hear it, you are in it. Okay, just say and agree. When other people are saying amen. But this is for your own good. Say amen too. Amen. This is for your own good. So you say amen also with it, okay? This is a prayer for business people. Any money you cheat your neighbor, you lie to get, may you lose double of it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Any business you get by betraying a close friend or somebody who trusted in you, may God take it from you with interest in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know why it's good you said amen? Because you'll be cured early. Actually, that's how God does it to his children. He loves you so much, he will not let you prosper in iniquity. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, he won't let you. The love he has for you is so great, he can't afford to let you prosper in iniquity. He can't. Therefore, once you put your hand into wrong things, he quickly flogs it. If you see me handling my children sometimes, you will think I'm a wicked person. And my reason, I said, you must learn the lesson. The other day, I told my son he's not eating breakfast. Simply, what happened? He said, hey, I want to eat cornflakes. His mother said, No, that is not the menu from this for this morning. You are going to eat your bread with your Milo. So the boy made the Milo and put cornflakes inside. When I found out, I said, cornflakes, oh, bread, oh, Milo, none of the above. Oh, yeah, to your room. I just read out the decree. According to the word of the Lord, no breakfast for Bobo this morning. He went to his room and he cried and cried and cried. I said, I lie. And as he was climbing the stairs up to his room, I said, you will learn obedience. You will learn how to tell the truth. You will learn how not to be crafty. I will teach it to you now so they won't have to steal your son, Joseph, from you, Jacob. You know what I mean? As an old man. I will teach it to you now. Yes. No. That is, he knows, my boy knows that if you want, one day he told me, I said, who did this? He looked at me and said, Daddy, if I tell the truth, are you still going to flog me? I said, yes. Truth or no truth, you are going to get flogged. He said, okay, I'm the one. I said, very good. You get 3 strokes of the cane. If you had lied about it, there would have been 6. There would have been 6. So, for telling me the truth, approach onto the judgment throne and collect 3 strokes of the cane. If you told a lie and I found out, the punishment for lying is separate from the punishment for that iniquity. Do you get my point? Listen, that is how a father teaches the son that he loves. And the God who taught us that, what do you think he's going to do to you? Don't worry, the king, quickly go home and repent. Because you don't defeat, say, yeah, I'm in trouble, Pastor Maggie, yeah. Go home in repentance. That you even know what to be afraid of, that's a good sign. Because a non-believer doesn't give a hoot. Yeah, he doesn't give a hoot, doesn't care. He doesn't care. A friend of mine told me how he pastored a church full of 419 people. The more he preached against 419, the more they kept coming. You know those ones are real unbelievers. Nobody will tell me they are not Christians. They are real unbelievers. Real ones. Because a real Christian will run away. A Christian will run. Any man who is going to a place where they are preaching against iniquity and he keeps going back is an unbeliever. A real Christian, once they are approaching like this, ha! Oh God, I'm in trouble today. The pastor said, praise the Lord. The man collapses. Under the influence of conscience, all the pastor wanted to say is, the Lord has been good to us. Let's just worship. He thinks that God, pastor, has come on his 419 again. So those ones that kept on coming, I said, they are not believers. So if you are feeling bad, it's a good sign. That here, amen? Yeah, it's a good sign. It's a good sign. And when the cane lands on your back, just wave your hands in thanksgiving. I did that to my son yesterday morning. He was whining and complaining because mother gave him work to do. I said, come here. Go over to your mother's side of the car because we're driving out. But I said, say after me. Mommy, thank you very much for the extra work this morning. He said, Mommy, thank you very much for the extra work. I'm going to do all the work you gave me. He was repeating everything. I said, it's because it's for my own good. And I'm very happy. I rejoice. I made him say every positive thing. And I said, you wipe that wine off your face. Next time I hear whining. Because he said, you should go and walk. The boy is 7. By the time you are 10, you will have learned all forms of righteousness. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That's why I go declare home. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's how Christians also are. When God comes on your case, you lose something, please don't whine. I don't. Whining, no. You must learn to rejoice. I quickly look at, you know, good sides of things. And there's something I'm trying not to tell you. Okay, God, let me not say anything. But I always look for a place to say thanks. I always look for somewhere to say thank God. Anyway, you know my car, my shiny car. A bus jammed it today. I said, Father, I thank you. My children were all inside. What if he had jammed the car from the side and flipped it over? He only took away the front. Father, I thank you. Lord, I worship you. Aren't you good? I said, Lord, I went into my room. I said, Lord, I thank you. Because all my children, every single one, were inside the car. So what if he had hit the car from the side and flipped the car over? Don't think is imagination. My wife's cousin lost 2 children in 1 day, just 2 weeks ago, in something similar to that. Including the mopo that was sitting in front. So there's cause for that. Look, one is a God. Why me? Where were you? Were you angels sleeping? This motorway fine like this. What happened? Were you here on Tuesday? We talked about Jonah again. You know Jonah? If you whine like that, fish will digest you. The reason why Jonah was vomited was because he was giving thanks for the trouble. Like, oh God, I asked you for deliverance. All you could put me is inside the belly of the fish. The fish will suddenly, next thing you secrete a lot of hydrochloric acid. The guy will begin digest. Next thing you see fish go shit in his skull and bones. This is what happened. He digested Jonah. Why? He was whining and grumbling. I hope you know what I said today. Christians, we turn our backs on the works of the flesh and we start sowing our seeds into the realm of the spirit. And then what we will reap, all right, is greater grace. Did I hear somebody say greater grace? What we will reap is the greater ability to walk in love, walk in faith, walk in patience, walk in every form of good thing. Because he said, he that sows to the realm of the spirit, from that place, the spirit will produce for him love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, and all forms of good works of the spirit. Have you learned something today? Or have I entertained myself alone? All right, the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen. Let's just bow down here to pray. Let's